As the children leave for the back hall, you may like to turn to our reading this morning. Our reading comes from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. John 20, starting at verse 19.
Jesus appears to his disciples. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. When Jesus came and stood among them, "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands, and stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book, but those have been written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Over the Easter period and leading up to Easter, I've done a number of monologues, and this is the final one. It's Thomas. "For me, it's the hands. Have you ever looked closely at your hands? Are they smooth or rough? Are they bent or sturdy or big or plump or small and delicate? I remember my father's hands. His job caused lots of tiny little nicks in his hands, and they would dry out quickly. He rarely complained because he worked hard to keep food on the table and clothes on our backs. It's all in the hands. My friends' hands as well, the brothers James and John, Simon and Andrew, they worked hard too, boats and nets and ropes and fish scales. They rarely complained either. They worked so hard, their families ate. They shared all they had with those who had need. And when the teacher needed strength and force, he turned to those friends. They could pull us out of just about any physical jam that we were in, our ragtag band of sometimes dim-witted students. And when crowds surrounded us or cornered the teacher, and there seemed to be no way out, rough, bold, solid hands of the fishermen would push through the crowd, like Moses parting the marshy reeds to our forefathers and mothers, and could find God's promise here in this land. But you know, there were gentle hands amongst us as well, and so often those softer hands calmed our spirits, when the tension got brutal. Mary and the teacher. Judas complaining all the time. She is simply trying to give him a moment of comfort and peace. Their hands, Mary and the other women, their hands were opposite to those of the fishermen, soft and smooth and gentle, passionate. It takes both kind of hands to make a body like our group work effectively. It's the hands. I saw his hands that horrific day. They whipped him and beat him before I even got to see him. By the time I saw him, blood was rolling down his arms and hands. I had to turn away as he passed by with the timber crossbar tied to his shoulders. I cried. I walked away. I stayed clear of the soldiers. It wouldn't help if the rest of us were hung up there too, would it? His hands, they really intrigued me. He touched lepers like he loved them. He didn't care about the impurity. He touched children, scolded us, in fact, because we tried to protect him from the little pests. But his hands, his rough, gentle, smooth, compassionate hands, he picked them up and he ruffled their hair. I saw him with the blind man. I remember what my father always taught me. Cross to the other side of the road when one comes towards you. Don't look at them. God has punished them. Or maybe his parents sinned and that's why he's blind. You just don't know. But my parents were wrong about that. That's what the teacher taught us. While we were with the blind man, the teacher mixed his saliva with dirt at his feet. And with the mud in his hands, he touched the man, touched him, physically put his fingers on the man's eyes. And the man was suddenly accepted back into the community. He went about his life once again, a part of the people he lived with. He was whole again. He was accepted again. He was loved again, touched again. All I could do as we walked away from that scene was stare at those hands with crusted, caked mud, dirty with the richness of God's earth, pure with the power of God's presence. They were hands that unrolled the Torah scroll when he read to us. Hands that touched God's word like no other before them. And hands that rolled those scrolls like one with authority. You know, he even touched the dead. Lazarus, his friend. Mary and Martha came sobbing about their brother being dead because the teacher didn't get there in time. Lazarus was dead in the tomb. And I saw the teacher cry, tears rolling down his cheeks. His hands wiped the tears from Mary and Martha's cheeks, and then they mingled their tears with his. But then there's Lazarus, and teacher's hands at the end of outstretched arms, and his moaning prayer that called Lazarus from the tomb. The smell was sickening, but the teacher's hands were open and outstretched so that Lazarus could fall into them. Their embrace, I will never forget. His hands that day looked bigger than life, like they held in them the mysteries of life and death, which I guess they did. The hands, they touched lepers. They brought wholeness to unseeing eyes and soundless ears. They reached out to women and children, fingers that pointed out injustice all around us. They were in the dirt, They dried tears. They spoke as clearly as any words the teacher ever offered. The hands of my friend that tore bread and dipped it in bowls that Thursday night. Those very same hands that contain authority and compassion in equal measure. Those hands on that night took simple bread and tore it in half and passed it around into our hands with a blessing that reminded us that what we do together, we act as one body. And those hands wrapped themselves around a cup which we all drank from. Each of our hands wrapped around that very cup as he passed it among us. Each of us received and passed on what he gave us that night. And then it all fell apart in a garden. Judas and a kiss. The temple police, the torches, the confusion. I didn't understand what was happening. Peter whipped out his sword before I knew it and cut off a man's ear. A scream of pain and anger, cursing and shouting. Blood dripped down the man's cheek and chin. And the teacher's hands reached out still, one. He gently pushed away Peter's knife, which dropped to the ground, and the other he touched the guard's ear, and the blood streamed down the back of his hand for a moment, and then it stopped. They tied his hands and dragged him away. Why did they do that? Why treat him like he has done something wrong? Why bind those hands that would only wanted to heal and love? It was a sight that I didn't want to see. But if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have believed the telling of it. This gentle man whose hands are etched into my memory led away like some common criminal. I saw it with my own eyes. Yet it's still hard for me to believe it even happened. They dragged, tied, and convicted him in just a few hours. They beat him, spat on him, and made a public example of what Rome will do, and even what our own learned religious leaders will do. If we use our hands to lead people in a direction to God. Those are the hands of the man I loved beyond the telling. Is it any wonder then that once behind closed doors that Sunday after he died a criminal's death, that I wanted to see his hands? I'm not the doubter they labeled me. I didn't know it was him. I needed to know it was him. The others said so, but I needed to see it for myself. I'm not a doubter. I just needed his hands one more time. Can you blame me? Behind closed doors, we were scared. Except for Mary, who seemed to have a glowing smile that lifted her. If any of us knew for sure that the teacher was with us still, it was Mary. She saw his hands. She saw him. She heard him. He called her name. She wanted to touch those hands one more time, but he said no, not yet. I had to see those hands before I believed. It was the only way I would know for sure it was the teacher. I saw what they did to his hands when they tied and nailed him to the beam of the cross that Friday. I had to turn my head as they threw him to the ground and stretched out his arms. My God, why? Those are the hands of a loving human being, not the paws of some animal to be sacrificed. the blood-stained hands of some tyrant, the harsh hands of some hardened criminal. Those hands were teachers' hands, hands that did the work of God. Those hands were God's hands. I vomited when they drove spikes through those hands. He let out a chilling scream when the cold metal touched his skin, when the sound of the hammer rang against the nail head, when the blunt point pushed through his skin and then bone. I couldn't stand to watch. Bang, a scream, bang, a moan, bang. My God, he was about to die and nobody seemed to care. They laughed at him, those soldiers. How easy it was for them to inflict pain on another human. What is wrong with them? They drive nails through human hands. Do they not see the love in the teacher's hands? He died that day. I saw and I believed. He died that day with his hands tied to a wooden beam, blood dripping. He died that day and we rushed to take him down and care for him before Sabbath started. We wrapped him, carried him gently. We laid him in Joseph's tomb so that he might sleep for eternity. And then the story started. Mary, the women, Peter, another of us disciples, they began rambling about teacher being alive again. I saw the nails, I saw the blood, I saw him die, I felt the weight of his lifeless body. He was dead on Friday, but they insisted he is alive. Whoever dared travel the streets gathered in that room on Sunday and locked the doors behind them. Some of our group ran off, headed home to Galilee, to Emmaus, to wherever they thought they would be safe. Some of us just couldn't imagine leaving Jerusalem. This is where we must continue the teacher's work, where we must use our hands in place of his hands now. This is where teacher brought us to challenge the injustices of our world. Some of us stayed, but we hid behind closed doors. We hid. They saw his hands, they said. Teacher came to them and showed his hands and sighed, and they believed. But I wasn't there the first time. I had to be elsewhere, in the garden, walking the streets, at the healing pool, with the troubled and the sick of the world, anywhere that would remind me of him and might let me forget the trauma in favor of the good moments with him. But I couldn't forget. There was no way to wipe away the last 3 years or erase the image of his hands from my memory. If only I could see those hands one more time, I would know it was him. I would know that he was being held now by his Father's hands, and that all would be well with my soul. I could move forward toward whatever was next in my journey. I had to see his hands again. Little did I know that the others had to see his hands too to believe. His hands and his side. That's what he showed them when suddenly he appeared through those doors. No one heard the doors open. No one heard them close. But there he was. "See my hands," he said to them. I wonder why that hasn't become our shared greeting amongst the followers. See my hands. With that phrase, we would know that each other was alive and was a believer. Maybe I'll use that from now on here. See my hands. I am alive in the teacher and he is alive in me. I believed as soon as I was in his presence, just like they did. I'm no different. They didn't believe until he showed them his hands. It's understandable, right? Those hands were our light in the darkness for 3 years. Those hands pointed us toward a God who we never knew before. Those hands opened to us our scriptures that we thought we knew, but we didn't. We saw his hands behind closed doors that day, and we believed. I'm no doubter. I have the image of his hands in my memory forever, and I go with the need to use my hands in the same way that he did. He gave us that power and authority. The one who believes in me will also do the work that I do, and in fact will do greater works than mine because I am going to the Father. I don't know how that could be true, but that's what the teacher told us. So I must honor that promise. His hands are now my hands, just as my hands have always been his hands. My hands must continue the work he started. My hands must do greater works than he ever accomplished. Hands. It's all about hands. Will you join me? Will you let your hands do the work of the teacher's hands? Will you show others your hands with his greeting, "See my hands"? Will you use your hands as God has given them to you? It's all about hands.